Miss Jen, tell the children, and you've heard us say it in the past, that the first Sunday of Advent marks the beginning of the new church year. And in this church year, and in this Advent, many of the gospel readings will be from the Gospel of Mark. So this is the reading for the first Sunday of Advent of this year. And our Advent worship theme is Waiting in Hope. And this passage that you're about to hear from the 13th chapter of Mark describes the astonishing experience of the return of the Son of Man. Hear now these words from the Gospel of Mark. But in those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only God the Father. So beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This ends the reading from the Gospel of Mark. And may these words, which once transformed the disciples' hearts, transform our hearts as well. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be offered humbly and faithfully. Amen. All right. I think I understand maybe what some of you are thinking, that those odd words from Scripture do sound a little peculiar for this first Sunday of Advent. I mean, the church is beautifully decorated. There is the abject joy of assembling Advent wreaths. The choir and with the bells at the introit, so beautiful. And then the Scripture reading for the new year are these strange apocalyptic words. And these verses speak not only of a new year, but seemingly of a whole new world. And it sounds a little like a world coming unglued. Jesus' kind of talk makes some of us want to crawl under the bed and stay there. And I'll be honest with you, frankly, I shy away from apocalyptic passages as they do seem so strange and so gloomy. But part of the reason I do is because I don't buy into end time predictions. Maybe you remember a bumper sticker almost 30 years ago, you saw it on a lot of cars that said, Jesus is coming. Are you saved? My brother sent me a variation, and it sat on my shelf for years because he sent me one that he preferred, a bumper sticker that it said, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Sure, Jesus does speak of end times in this passage. A time in which the very stars will be shaken from the heavens and the Son of Man will return upon the clouds. But as one pastor wrote, I think we misread Jesus' intentions if we treat his words as sort of a code to be cracked. There's no hidden Google Calendar invite lurking in that passage that schedules the end of the world as if it's going to be simply another work meeting, a doctor's appointment, or some after-school activity we drive our children to. Instead, I'd rather suggest to you that the Gospel of Mark's Advent testimony is not really even necessarily scary, because talk of things coming to an end means that something new is on the horizon. And that something new might very well be a glimpse of hope. Our worship theme this Advent is Waiting in Hope. Now, it's been suggested that hope seems to have uniquely religious overtones. And another author has suggested that what is beginning to happen in some sectors of our culture is that hope is beginning to die. And I will say that a secular culture can't easily speak to that situation. Secularity doesn't really have a grammar or vocabulary for hope. And I think it would be safe to say that historically it's people of faith that have kept the language of hope alive. But hope is not an act of our wills, but rather hope is an act of the imagination. Because hope is what allows us to see beyond what is and to imagine what might or even what ought to be. I mean, that's a peculiar thing about hope. It guides us into a place, maybe an emotional, a spiritual, or physical place where we have not yet had the courage to go. Hope can be a path that leads us to becoming the persons we have not yet become. And Jesus says that to wait in hope, you must keep awake. Keep awake because when one thing ends, something new is unfolding. But you know that. You know that because you know that for some in this sanctuary, perhaps the sadness or grief you've been carrying may not weigh you down as completely as it once did. Because every step of the journey, God's love has been slowly but surely healing your broken heart. Perhaps you know someone who, after a time of illness, is finally to begin to see some semblance of strength, and they have a new perspective on life. Maybe the emotional paralysis that occurs during the pain of a relationship coming to an end, maybe that is slowly being lifted, and someone is beginning to feel hopeful and whole again. At the end of one thing, something new emerges. It's like a tough hike up a mountain trail. And if you've ever done that, you know what happens when you get to the ridge. You're able to look back and see where you've come from, but it's then and only then that you really understand where you've been. And you might realize that God is with you every step of the difficult journey. So maybe Mark's apocalyptic words are actually ones of hope after all. Not so much about the end of a world, but the start of a new one. And our Christian faith is a faith of new beginnings. It's a religion of the dawn, the morning. It's a religion of the new day. I know, so often we think that our faith is rooted in the past, and of course it is. I mean, we read ancient words of Scripture. We celebrate a ritual thousands of years old. But despite that sense or perception that our faith is about the past, the direction of the Christian faith is always into the future. It's about tomorrow. I mean, that's why we light the Advent candles. They illuminate our path into tomorrow. And next week, we light another candle, and then yet another candle, and the light will grow stronger and stronger the closer we get to Christmas. Maybe you don't know this, maybe you do, but every year your amazing church staff, and they are amazing, gathers at my home for a Christmas party. And each year, a very kind member of this congregation brings over a box of extra decorations to make it even more special. And each year, her box of extra things is basically full of candles. Now, the first couple of years, I asked the same question, and she gave me the same answer every year. And I'd say, "Why, friend, all the candles?" And she'd look at me and shake her head and say, "Rich, you can never have too many candles." Which I know now is another way of saying in Advent that you can never have too much light. You can never have too much hope. for hope is the radical dimension of our Christian faith. Because hope is not content with the notion of simply celebrating the things that are, or celebrating things as we imagine they once were. But no, our Christian hope is, and always has been at its core, prophetic, which means it speaks of the time to come, of the things that are not yet, and in particular, in this season of Advent, our Christmas hope speaks of the people we have not yet become, but hope to be. May it be so.